Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Kiddushin is Ayin Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. We start today the Gemara on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Okay. The discussion that we're having in the Gemara since the beginning of the fourth paragraph of Kiddushin has been Yuchsin. It's a question of genealogy. Genealogy becomes a very important point when you're going to get married. So you have to obviously ensure for proper genealogy. And the Mishnah pointed out that when Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael, so he took a number of people with him, those who were genealogically fit and those who were genealogically unfit. Mishnah goes through a series of 10 different groups of Jewish people who Ezra took out. The first three were kind of familiar with, Kohanim, Levim, V'Yisraelim, and after that a series of people who are apostle. As the Gemara pointed out, and certainly this was Rava's position in the beginning of the fourth parak, Ezra did so deliberately. He did so intentionally. He actually took those who were genealogically unfit together with him, so that he knew that most of the Talmidei Chachamim are going to be living in Eretz Yisrael, and so he wanted to take care of them and make sure that somebody is looking out for them. So that's why he took them all with him outside. Bava was left Kesolos Nikia, the Gemara said earlier. Bava was left as pure flour, fine flour, and so therefore the genealogy of Bava was exquisite. To the point where we saw the story yesterday, a rather amazing story, where Rav Yochanan and Ze'iri are a Rebbe Talmid, and Ze'iri is learning by Rav Yochanan, but Ze'iri will not allow Rav Yochanan's daughter to marry into his family. And I know it's hard to imagine, I'm even saying this, but we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan. But still, Rabbi Yochanan lives in Eretz Yisrael and does not have the kind of yichus that those who live in Bavel have. And so therefore, Rabbi Yochanan himself couldn't believe it. He said, my Torah is good for you, but my children are no good. And Ze'iri didn't respond, but the answer basically was, yeah, that's correct. That's right. It's almost unimaginable. But that's... that is the Gemara. In terms of the ranking system, the Gemara yesterday, we did this. We saw this in the Gemara yesterday. Bavel was number one in terms of genealogical purity. Number two ranked was Eretz Yisrael. And number three was Shaar Ratzos, basically everywhere else. So even Eretz Yisrael was not as good as Bavel. With that being stated, so in a couple minutes from now, we're going to see the Gemara is going to give us the parameters of Bavel. Meaning, once we have identified Bavel as being genealogically superb, so then the Gemara Kedarka Bekodesh is going to give us an outline of Bavel and where exactly Bavel begins and where Bavel actually ends, so that we know.
Was many, many years after Ezra.
I mean, he was an Amora when he was an entire Bais Sheni after Ezra. But okay, but that in other words, but that the roots of all that come from Ezra. Yeah. Okay, so okay, so yeah, so yesterday, right? So yesterday, the Gemara turned this discussion to what are going to be genealogical tests? Meaning, right? We would have DNA testing, but back then, obviously, that wasn't much of an option. So, what exactly was the testing in order to see genealogical purity? So the Gemara says midos. Midos is going to be the way that people are going to be tested, and specifically, what midah? So the midah of shtika. A family is calm, content, quiet, good-natured. Oh boy! So the Gemara says that's a good sign for genealogical purity. This is where we left off yesterday. So let's pick up where we left off. So Amalei Hechinavid. So we're in the fourth wide line in the Gemara on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, so what should we do? Amalei Zilbaster Shtikusa. So he says, okay. So what you're going to do in terms of determining Yichus is follow Shtika. Shtika is going to be silence, meaning the mida of being quiet and calm. Ki hay de batki b'nei marava, ki mansi b'treva hade adade, chaze haimina de kadim v'shasek. So the Gemara says that the b'nei marava, in Eretz Yisrael, when two people were fighting one another, so the way that they would test to see who had more yichus is to see which one of these families would be quiet first. Amri hami yuchas tvei. the family that was quiet first, so that had more yichus. Okay, so in other words, there's a refinement to not only not fighting but ending the fight and basically giving in earlier and being quiet earlier. And it's not only is it mida, but it's also a siman that you have more yichus. Amarav, shtikuse de bavel, hainu yichusa. So Rav says that if you look at the shtik on bavel, right, the amount of silence and again calm and good natured people in bavel, so you'll see that's the yichus. In other words, that's a siman towards their yichus. Ini vaikla Rav ubadik bahu. So the Gemara says now Rav went to a town. Now what the name of the town? So in our Gemara, Bebar Shafichala. Okay. Anyway, we're gonna mention a lot of towns that I'm unfamiliar with today over the course of today. Anyway, but he does a bidika, and the Gemara says that he's doing some sort of genealogical testing. So my love yichus asa. So the Gemara says now wasn't the testing that he was doing was yichus, meaning he was doing a bidika basically on the genealogical tree. So the Gemara says lo b'shtikusa. No, the Gemara says no, absolutely not. The actual bidika that he was doing was shtika, meaning shtika turn for him was basically a genealogical test to see if the family had good yichus. And the Gemara says that's exactly what he did. His bedika was to see whether they were quiet or whether they were not quiet. So Rav Yehuda says, in the name of Rav, if you see two families or two people that are fighting with one another, shemetz pasul yesh b'achad mehem. So one of them has shemetz pasul, one of them has a genealogical taint. And ve'imin osoli dabek echad b'chavero. And that is what is causing the blockage, where one person cannot get along with another person. I'm Rav Yishu Malevi. Rav Yishu Malevi is basically going to teach us the same halacha. If you see two families that are fighting with one another. Here, the only difference is Rav Yishu Malevi is extending this to families. Shemetz pasul yesh ba'achad mehem. So once again, it speaks to a genealogical taint within the family. And that is why one family cannot get along with the other family. So now the Gemara is going to give a diagnosis for four different communities that were within the quote unquote Bavel area. So Bavel Bria. So Bavel, that's healthy. Right, so Bavel gets a clean bill of health, and again, we're talking now about the genealogy. So Bavel is good and healthy. Meshan, Mesa. Meshan, so their diagnosis is very simple. They're dead. They were pronounced dead. Genealogically dead. And Madai Chola, the province of Madai, so they're sick, and Elam Gosesis. Now, Elam does not have a good prognosis. Elam is a Goses, and as we're going to say in just a moment, although we've seen this many times throughout the Gemara, a Goses is somebody who is not dead, but headed in that direction, right? The prognosis is not good. So ma bein chol negoses, and then the Gemara over here spells it out. The difference between a chol and a goses, rav chol nechaim, rav goses and lamisa. Most people are a chol, so they have a good prognosis and they're going to live, and most people who are a goses are going to die. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So Bavel, as we've been saying since the beginning of this discussion, Bavel's on the top of the list in terms of Yichus, right? The Bria is healthy. And on the other side, Meshan is dead. And then the other two provinces, Madai and Elam, so they're somewhere in the middle. Elam, we should be familiar with. We talked about Elam most recently. The duff. Anyway, we spoke about Elam recently. So Elam was a community in which there was a lot of arrogance in Elam, right? Remember we did the Agarata that described how there was Gassas Aruach and Chanifa, and it swept across the land. The Gemara spoke in Bederach Hadrush. But anyway, Elam, the Gemara says, was a underdeveloped community. And they learned Torah in Elam, but they were unable to teach Torah in Elam. So, and here in terms of genealogy, so we see something, that could probably be a nice corollary. That's not nice, but in other words, it correlates in terms of the genealogical health of Elam, and that it's very unhealthy, genealogically unhealthy. Okay, this brings us to the next question of the Gemara, and that is parameters. Once we know that Bavel enjoys this kind of genealogical fitness and purity, so what exactly are the parameters of Bavel? So it will be clear as we go through the Gemara. I see a couple maps in front of me right now. It's helpful. So as we will be clear is basically the Bavel community was basically circumscribed by two rivers, the Chidekel and the Nahr Pras, all right? The Tigris and the Euphrates, Tigris being above the Euphrates. And basically what we're going to be doing is that Bavel is the community that goes on the river and probably the area in between the two rivers as well. So this is the area of Bavel. And so basically what the Gemara now is going to turn to is the upper and lower limits of Bavel based on both rivers, meaning we have to go first, we'll do the Tigris, we'll do the Chidekel, and then we're going to do the Euphrates. And we're looking now for the limits of Bavel, and again, the borders that we're creating over here is for genealogical purity. So Rav Amar Nahar Azak Rishmul Amar Ar Nahar Yuni. Okay, now again, to me these are names, and they don't have much meaning to me. My geography, my Bavel geography is really limited, but you'll see it. We'll get through the Gemara in terms of the basic ideas. Now, if we were going to go up river on the Diglas, earlier I said Chidekel, it's a Diglas, so I misspoke. So the if we're going upwards on the Diglas, until where are we going? Rav Amar Ad Bagda, Vavna, Ushmol Amar Ad Mushkani. So the Gemara says now Shmuel used Mushkani as the upper border of the Tigris. The Gemara says V'lo Mushkani bechlal v'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba amar Shmuel Mushkani harehu kegola liyuchsin. So the Gemara quotes a statement by Shmuel who says that Mushkani is included as part of the gola as it relates to Yichus, meaning it has a genealogical purity of Bavel. Ela ad Mushkani Mushkani bechlal. So the Gemara says fine. So the only thing we're going to do is make a small correction in that we assume that when he said ad Mushkani meant up to but not including. Now what we understand Shmuel to mean is up to and including Mushkani. Letachsus bediglas adhecha. Now we're going to go downstream, down the Tigris. So Amar Shmuel bar ad Apamia Tasa. So we are going to go all the way down to Apamia Tasa. There are two Apamias at the bottom of the Tigris River. One is the upper Apamia, and the other one is the lower Apamia. And you're right, assuming the river is moving downstream. So obviously, if you're going downstream, the first one you're hitting is the upper, and then you're going to hit the lower. So ad Apamia Tasa. Tarti Apamia Havian. So the Gemara actually tells us that there were two Apamias. Chad Ilasa v'chad Tasiasa. So one was the upper and one the lower. Chad Aksher v'chad Apsula. One is Kashan, the other one's Pasul. Ubein Chad l'chad Aparsa. Now the distance to get from the upper Apamia to the lower Apamia is one Parsa. V'kakapti Ahadade. Now in terms of these communities did not get along. They were machpid over one another. Gemara has over here a fantastic expression. They would not even lend fire to one another. Now, lending fire is not a terribly big deal. In other words, I'll just simply pass the fire on to you. It's not a big deal. But that gives you just a wonderful description of how machpid they are with one another. They did not like one another. V'simancha depsulta had the Mishtai Mishnes. So the Gemara says now a mnemonic to help you remember which community of these two are not fit. So the one who speaks in a somewhat different language. What does that mean in a somewhat different language? If you take a look at Rashi over here. The first wide line in Rashi. The psulta han the mishtai mishnes v'siman ze yehi biyadcha shlotitei the psula hach the mishtai b'loshan meishan. Right, the community that speaks in the Meishan dialect. Now, as Rashi points out, you remember just a moment ago that we pointed out that Meishan, in terms of the diagnosis and prognosis, so Meishan was a goses. Meishan was dead. Right, worse. So Meishan wasn't good, and the town on the Tigris that was proximate to Meishan, who spoke in the Meishan dialect. So they also were not genealogically fit. The Gemara says that's the way to help you remember. Okay, so we went on the upstream on the Tigris, we went downstream on the Tigris, and now we're going to do the same thing for the Euphrates River as well. So now we're going to the upper extremity of the Euphrates in terms of the parameters of Bavel. So Rav Amar Akra Tetukabane Vishmul Amar Ad Gishra de Bepras. Okay, so once again, we're talking now about cities that are somewhere that exist somewhere upstream on the Euphrates River, and that is the upper limit of the genealogical purity. Rav Yochanan Amar Ad Ma'abras de Gizma. So Rav Yochanan would go so far up as the as the Gizma crossing. Which,
oh, you lived in Israel.
Now, I was about to point out, you beat me to my thought, and that is that Rav Yochanan is saying a position, and Rav Yochanan lives in Eretz Yisrael. So, yes, it's a little bit strange. Now, there are, we've seen before a number of times where there's crossover where an Amor in Eretz Yisrael will have an opinion about Bavel and vice versa.
This is geography.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm with you. It is strange. Now, Laid Abayi Vitem Rav Yosef Ade Rav. Now, as far as Rav's position is concerned, so Rav takes the parameter, the upstream parameter of Euphrates, and Rav puts it all the way up to Akra Dituk Abani. So when Abai heard this, and some say Rav Yosef heard this, so they curse that position, meaning it's a simple way of saying they did not like that position. So the Gemara says, either Rav Lait or Shmuel Lo Lait. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. If you're not happy with Rav's position, you're certainly not going to be happy with Shmuel's position, because Shmuel is even further upstream. So if you think Rav is literally over the line in terms of where Bavel extends, Shmuel is way over the line. So how can you be unhappy with Rav and not be unhappy with Shmuel? El alai nad Rav v'kol shekein nad Shmuel. So the one approach to the Gemara is very simple. Abai and Rav Yosef are unhappy with both. He's unhappy with Rav, and it goes without saying that he's unhappy with Shmuel. Or the Gemara says, no, maybe we can understand the statement of Abaye or Rav Yosef literally, that he was unhappy with Rav and not with Shmuel. Now, the Gishra de Beit Pras, Litasai Havakai. Now, in terms of Gishra de Beit Pras, which is what Shmuel identified as the border, it could be that originally that border was more downstream than Rav's border. Now, it happens to be that when the Gemara, as the time of the writing of the Gemara, it was found more upstream, but the Gemara explains that. V'ha'idna nowadays, says the Gemara, meaning at the current time of the writing of this of the Talmud Bavli, hu dalya parsai. So what the Persians did is the Persians moved it. So so in other words, there was a Gishra, there was a bridge, and it originally existed more downstream. So that's why when Rav Yosef was unhappy with Rav, he was fine with Shmuel because Shmuel's border existed further downstream. But then when we look at it, we meaning 5th century Babylonia, when we look at it, it seems to us to be strange, but that's only because what the Persians did is they just simply took the bridge and they moved it further upstream. That's why we think it's strange. Amle Abai Rav Yosef Lahagisa de Prasad Hecha. Okay, now let us go to the other side of the Euphrates. So Amle Maidetech Mishum Biram. So now what is your consideration over there? Is your consideration Biram? Maybe you're asking regarding Biram. So Biram, my detach mishum Biram, miyachse de Pumbedisa, mi Biram, Nazbe. People who have yichus from Pumbedisa. So and now the Pumbedisa is, Rashi points out, is between the two rivers, and meanwhile they would marry people from Biram. So point being that the people from Pumbedisa, who clearly are genealogically fit, so they're allowing their children to marry the people from Biram. So the Gemara basically said check, meaning they're good. Amra Papa Kamachlokas Liuchsin Kach Machlokas Linyan Gittin. The Gemara says now there is let's go back to the beginning of Masechta Gittin, and remember we learned back then that if you are delivering a get from Medina Sayyam, from anywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael, so we are worried about two things. The Gemara in the beginning of the Masechta Gittin taught us. We're worried that the get was not written Lishma, and as a basic requirement of every get, it has to be written Lishma, and so we're concerned about Lishma, and also we're not going to be able to authenticate the document, right? Because if it's coming from overseas, so the people who signed on the document, so they're not going to be around. And how are we going to be mekayim the shtar? How are we going to be authenticating, certifying the document? So for those two reasons, the Chachamim instituted that when you deliver a get, Medina Sayyam, you have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, that the get was written in front of me and the get was signed in front of me. Okay, so but meanwhile, we also learned back in Gittin, towards the beginning of the Masechta, that this is true if you're bringing the get from anywhere except for Bavel. Bavel has a special status in which, if you're bringing a get, if you're delivering a get from Bavel, so you do not need to worry neither about the Sofrim not knowing about Lishma, and you don't have to worry about the about Kiyum Shtaris as well. There's enough traffic from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so you don't have to worry about either. And therefore, when delivering a get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you do not need to say Befana Nechta, Befana Nechta. Okay. That's just a quick refresher of what we saw in the beginning of Masechet Gittin. So now, as we have just outlined the parameters of Bavel as it relates to Yichus, so now, is it the same relating the halachas of Befanei Nechta, Befanei Nechtam? So that's what we're going to be discussing over the next couple lines of Gemara. So Rav Papa says, same machlokas, kamachlokas l'yuchsin, kach machlokas l'inyin Gittin. So just like we have a debate regarding Yichus, meaning what are the parameters of Yichus in Bavel, same thing regarding Get, meaning whatever is going to be your position regarding how far Bavel extends for Yichus, that will be your same position regarding saying Befana Nechta, Befana Nechta. Rav Yosef, Amar Machlok L'Yuchsin. Now Rav Yosef says no. The debate we have is regarding Yichus. But as far as Get is concerned, as long as the Get is being delivered anywhere within the Bavel region, going so far as the second bridge. Now, where the second bridge lies, again, I don't know enough geography to be able to identify. But basically, it certainly sounds like from the Gemara, that's a further extension in terms of the halachas of Befana Nechtav, over that of the parameters, the boundaries of Yichus. Amar Rami Bar Abba, Chava Yama, Tachlita Debava. Rami Bar Abba says that Chava Yama is the name of a place, and it is the Tchilta de Bavel. Literally, it's the Tchelas of Bavel. What does that mean, the Tchelas of Bavel? So Rashi points out over here, Machlila v'tif arta shel Bavel liyuchsin. Meaning already we point out that Bavel is the best. But still, even within Bavel, we could talk now about the best of the best, and that is this place called Yamatechla. So, okay, Shunya v'Govia Techilta de Chavel Yama, and Shunya and Govia, and again two other places. So they are the splendor of Chavel Yama. Okay, so Ravina Amar Af Tzitzura, and Ravina would like to add Tzitzura to the list of some of the premier genealogical locations in Bavel. Tanya Me'achi, the Gemara quotes the Brice, and the Brice is going to support this as well. Chanan ben Pinchas Omer Chavel Yama. Tchilta de Bavel, again, the Chavayama is the splendor of Bavel, and Shunya v'Govia v'Tzitzura, Tchilta de Chavayama. Okay. Now, Amar Rav Papa v'Aidna, Yerva behukutai. Now, Rav Papa says, now, that those speak to the, those are historical. Meaning, to date, says Rav Papa, they're not as good as they once were, and in fact, Kusim have now come and infiltrated into the families. But the Gemara says, Velohi. But the Gemara says, but this position of Rav Papa is not as muskam as Rav Papa himself thinks. The Gemara simply rejects it. The Gemara says, it's just not true. Isasahu deba minayu, velo yavile. So the Gemara says that there was once a situation in which a Kusin wanted to marry within the family, but they didn't allow it. So, but the Gemara says basically it's anecdotal, and the Gemara believes that these places are genealogically as good as they once were. My Chavayama, the Gemara says, in terms of Chavayama, as we expressed, it's one of the premier genealogical locations in Bavel. Amar Papa Zu Pras de Borsi. So the Gemara says, okay, it's basically, it's along the Euphrates River, and it's right next to the town of Borsi. Yeah, right. You look on your maps, you'll see the Euphrates, you'll see the Borsi is one of the towns over there. How Gavad Amalu Anamin Shot Mishot. So there was a man who said he was from Shot Mishot. Shot Mishot is the town, once again, that runs along the Euphrates River. So Amar Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Araglava Amar Shot Mishot, Bein Aras Amedes. So Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says, this town of Shot Mishot It exists between the two rivers. It's between the Tigris and the Euphrates. V'chi bein anar, so it's my have. So the Gemara says, okay, and that's good information, but can you develop that a little bit more? And that means what exactly? Amar Abai, Amar Rabbi Chama Baruch, Amar Rabbi Yos, Rabbi Chanina, bein anar, so it could go to Liyuchsin. It means it's a check. In terms of Yichus, in terms of genealogy, being between the rivers is just as good as being on the river itself. V'heche kaima, so the Gemara says, now where exactly can we find this? I'm Rav Yochanan, mi'ihi dekiri, again, by the way, Rav Yochanan, giving a geographic opinion. So I'm Rav Yochanan, mi'ihi dekiri, ula'el. So, okay, so the Gemara gives us another marker in terms of helping us identify where it is. V'am Rav Yochanan ad ma'avrasa de gizma. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Earlier when we were discussing the upper limits of the Euphrates and the... And what is the upper boundary? So Rav Yochanan himself described Avrasa de Gizma as being the upper limit, the upstream boundary of the Euphrates River. And now these cities that he's describing are further upstream, and the Gemara says, now I don't understand that. Amar Abaye Ritzu Anafka. So the Gemara quotes, you see, the Abaye over here is helping us understand that really, in terms of the river itself, Rav Yochanan firmly believes that Avrasa de Gizma is the upstream limit of the Euphrates River, but there's a strip of land that basically takes you to two other towns, Shot Mishot and Ihi Dekire. Basically a strip of land that takes you to two other towns that are also in the genealogical fitness. But in terms of the boundary, basically you could mark off the boundary at the place of Avrasa de Gizma. Amrav Ika Bar Avin, Amrav Chanano, Amrav Chilazon, Nahawand, Harehi Kigola Liuchsin. So the towns of Chilazon and the towns of Nahawand are like Gola. They're like Bavel, meaning they are genealogically fit. Amalei Abaye lo tetzitzalei. So Abaye says, pay that no attention. That is not correct. Yavamehi de naflalei hasam. And Abaye levels a charge. It's definitely an accusation. And he says he's saying this because he had a Yavama, who, in other words, he had a brother who married a woman and in one of these towns, and his brother died, and his sister-in-law now presented to him as a candidate for Yibum. So he said that in order to, you know, in order to... Yeah, it was exactly. He was no Gebedover, and that's why it was not an unbiased opinion regarding the genealogical fitness of these towns. Amale atu didihi de Rav Chananohu. So he says, look, I'm not espousing my own viewpoint. If I were espousing my own viewpoint, so then I understand the accusation. But I'm saying this in the name of Rav Chanano. Azo shayla Rav Chanano. So they go over to Rav Chanano and they seek corroboration. Amalu, achi amar Rav. And then he quotes in the name of Rav. And Chilazar and Nahawan, harei kegola liyuchsin. Okay, so these two towns of Chilazar and Nahawan are good, are genealogically fit. Upliga de Rav Abba Bar Kahana, but the Gemara points out, this is controversial. The Amar Rav Abba Bar Kahana, my dechsiv, my nachem b'chalach v'chabor, nahar gozen v'are madai. Excuse me. Pasuk Malachim over here describes, we know, that Sancheirav Melech Ashur went into the northern kingdom, decimated the northern kingdom, where once occupied the 10 northern tribes. And what Sancheirav did with the 10 northern tribes is he took them and he sent them into exile. And needless to say, we do not know where they are. Again, I referenced the article I read yesterday, the B'nai Menashe. But anyway, but Kipshuta, we don't know where they are. And the Navi over here is giving us some references of where some of these communities went. So now, Vaynachem, and they settled in Chalach and Chavor, Nahar Gozen, Are Madai. And so now the Gemara here, today's daf, is going to be giving a description of where some of these towns can be found. So, Chalach zu Chilazon, Chavr zu Hadyav, and Argozen zu Ginzak. Are Madai zu Chamdan v'Chavr Seah. Okay, so the Gemara over here helps us identify, I mean, you know, I know to what degree, but helps us identify where these towns are. Meanwhile... Right. So that's, but that's Iran.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So where's that?
They were there. In fact, there were cameras there.
in the place called Hamadan. The Amri La Zu Nahawan V'Chavrasa. Now some have it as Nahawan and Chavrasa. So right, Nahawan and surrounding areas. So again, basically, here's what we know. just scraping it. I mean, I'm not any type of real depth of geographical knowledge over here, but here's what you can put together from the Gemara. Certainly, these towns of Chilaz or Nahawan are not the best genealogical fit towns, because we know that the Esar Shvatim were sent over there. We also know that the Esar Shvatim, the Asar Shvatim, they ended up intermarrying. So basically, what you get from all this is that these towns that are being identified by the Pesukim, by the Gemara, are not so genealogically pure. That's what you get from all this. And the Gemara says, "My chavrasa." Now we said, "Nawan and surrounding towns." Amar Shmuel, Krach Mushke, Chuske, Verumke. Okay, and Shmuel identifies the neighboring communities. Amar Rav Yochanan v'kulon l'psul. Now Rav Yochanan says, "Now any town that was identified through the pasuk in Malachim, through the Gemara's identification, so Rav Yochanan says it all means X, meaning not a check. Genealogical impurity for all these towns that are identified. Now, so the Gemara says, now, at this point, we're thinking that Mushchi and Mushchani are the same. Now, we saw in the previous Amud that Mushchani, as far as the town of Mushchani is concerned, it's like Gola, meaning it's like it has the premier status of Bavel. So Ela Mushke Lechud Mushkan Lechud. The Gemara says, okay, but we'll just simply correct that because the half a minute was wrong. Mushki and Mushkani are two different towns and two different communities. Okay, Adkan. V'tlas Ilain Bepuma Ben Shineha. We are now in Sefer Daniel. And Sefer Daniel, we are in the seventh parak of Sefer Daniel, so we know that there were a number of dreams taking place in Sefer Daniel. And the dreams obviously are a mashal, and they are a nevuah for the future. And over here within this dream, so the dream is describing a bear, and there were four animals altogether. And we are now on the chayashnia. We are on the second animal in the dream. And the second animal is a reference to Bavel. So Vitlas Ilan Bepuma, and there were three ribs in the mouth of this animal, Bein Shina, between its teeth. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zu Chilazon Hadayav and its Stephen. So Rabbi Yochanan identifies these three towns, meaning the ribs over here is a mushal to these three towns. Shepamim Bolasam and Pamim Polatasan. Sometimes they were swallowed and sometimes they were not swallowed. Meaning that sometimes they became part of the Persian Empire, sometimes they were not part of the Persian Empire. The Aru Chivya Acharei Tanina Dameha, Ledov. And the Gemara says that this second animal looked very similar to that of a bear. Tani Rav Yosef taught, Elu Parsim. This is a reference to the Persian people, meaning the Persian people are the bear that were seen in the dream. Sha'ochlim v'shosin kedov, they eat and drink like bears. Umisuvalim kedov, and they're very large like bears. Umegalim ser kedov, they're hairy like bears. Ve'ein lehem menucha kedov, and they don't rest like bears. Okay, so a reference to the Persian people. Rabbi Ami, Kiava Chaze Parsa Derachiv Amar. Rabbi Ami, when he saw a Persian riding on an animal, Amar Hainu Duba Naida. So Rabbi Ami says that is a bear in motion, basically referring to the Persian as a bear. Amale Rabbi Lelevi, Hareini Parsim. So show me what the Persians look like. Amrle domim lechayelos shel Beis David. Basically, they are like the soldiers of Beis David. Okay, that intimidating. Hareini chevran, so show me chavaryan. Now, chavaryan, says Rashi, is a nation that is close to Persia, and they're actually more destructive than the Persians themselves. Now, the Gemara just spent the last couple lines talking about how the Persians are basically bears. So, b'derech mashal, as an analogy. So, they're worst. So the Gemara says, domen l'malachei chavala. Okay, so they're like destructive angels. Hareini Yishma'ilim. Okay, make a comparison to Yishma'ilim. Domen l'si'irim. Shabbat Akisa. So they're like Seirim. Seirim over here are not goats, but Seirim over here, once again, a reference to destructive forces, right? We just saw this in the Parsha a couple Shabbatim ago. In Parshas Achremos, right? The Torah says, and you're not going to offer any more to the Seirim, meaning, right, some sort of destructive power. We would call them demons, so correct. Hareini Tamid HaChachamim Shebabavel. Give me an analogy for Tamid HaChachamim in Bavel. So, Domim Malachi HaSharis. Similar to Malachi HaSharis. Ki Ava Nichanav Sheh Rabbi Amar. Rebbe died, and right before he died, he said the following. Okay, the Gemara, a number of places, talks about Rebbe's last words and Rebbe's death. All right, to my mind, the Gemara Ksuva speaks at length about the actual death of Rebbe, the patira of Rebbe. Here, the Gemara talks about some of the things that Rebbe says before his demise. So, Amar Humnaya Ika Bebavel. So, Kulam Onahi. So, there is a community in Bavel, Humnaya. And that's the name of the city. And basically, all the people that live there are Ammonim. Okay. Misarga, Ika Babavel. There's a town in Babavel by the name of Misarga. And Kula de Mamzerahim. And the town is filled with Mamzerim. Now, again, he doesn't mean it pejorative. He means it just like as a simple matter of fact, meaning that's their Mamzerim. Okay, Birka Ika Babavel, there's a town called Birka, and Shnei Achim Yesh, and there are two brothers in this town, Shemachlif and Shosem Zelazem. Unfortunately, they wife swap, and as a result of that, we just discussed it yesterday, so as a result of that, their children are going to be Mamzerim. Now, he doesn't speak about the whole town, he speaks about specifically these brothers, but basically, watch out. You know, buyer beware, I guess Rebbe's saying. How does Rebbe know this information? Now remember, yesterday we just went over the Gemara that talked about how, you know, certain secrets were disseminated, you know, once in a 7-year span, sometimes twice in a 7-year span. And so here, Rebbe is disseminating secrets. Now I guess the Gemara is writing it, so I'm speculating. Okay, disclaimer. I'm speculating, but the Gemara is basically after the fact. Well, after the fact. The Gemara is written now centuries after the death of Rebbe, but after the fact, the Gemara is now disseminating this information. But I'm imagining, again, I'm speculating, that Rebbe's not broadcasting this information. He's like, you know, he's handing it over as part of a Mesorah. So, when we're reading it, which sounds like, you know, this is just like he's broadcasting this information. Okay. Birta de Satya. Ika Babavel. So Hayom Soro Me'acharei HaMakom. So there's a town in Babel, and they rebelled. And the Gemara goes on to speak specifically about what they did. The Akve Peribikavre Bishabaso. So what happened was is that they had a fish pond, and the fish pond overflowed, and the Va'azavatsadabu Bishabasa. Now that was just such a wonderful opportunity of catching so many fish. The only problem, of course, was it was Shabbos, and you're not allowed to catch on Shabbos. Tzedah is one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos. But they really couldn't help themselves, and so therefore they caught the fish. Vishamtinu Rebbe Achai, Rebbe Yoshia, and then they were put in Cherem for public violation of Shabbos, and Vishtamud. So, and they all became Nishmad, they all became Shmad. They left the fold, they left the reservation. So, Akra de Agma, Ika Babavel. There is a town in Babel called Akra de Agma, and Adabarava Yeshba. And there's a person over there by the name of Adabarava. And Hayom Yoshe Becheko Shal Avraham. And today, he's in the lap of Avraham. So, take a look at Rashi over here. He's identifying Rav Adabarava. Now, remember, this is Rebbe talking. So Rashi is going to deal with the historical dilemmas that Rebbe is going to be talking about. Rav Ada Ba'ava. Yesh Omrim. I'm reading Rashi now at the top of Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Yesh Omrim Meisayom. So the Imkain Ains there Rav Ada Shebigmara. So now, if you're going to work with the pshat that he's in the lap of Avraham Avinu, it means that he dies. So then Rashi says, so then you're going to have to say that this is not the Rav Ada that we normally are introduced to in the Gemara. Why? Let me answer my own question. The reason being because Rav Ada Ba'ava lives well after Rebbe. So you want to tell me which Rashi is about to suggest that this talking about his birth? Okay, that's fine. But if he died at this point in time, meaning basically when Rebbe died, so it's not the same Rav Ada, it's just simply another person with the same name. That's one possibility. But then Rashi goes on, Vinira Barashi says, but if you ask me, I think that Yoshi Becheku Shal Avram Avinu Shenichnas the Bris Mila. I think that he joined Avram Avinu means, not joined him meaning he died, joined him meaning just like Avram Avinu got a Bris Mila, so too this Rav Ada got a Bris Mila as well. Vinira da Yoshi Becheku Shal Avram Avinu Shenichnas the Bris Mila. Vizer Rav Ada Brava Sheherich Yamim Harbe. And now this Rav Ada Brava lived for a very long time. Mishameis Rabbi Ad Doros Achronim Bimei Rav Nachma Yitzchak Kedarmin Babababasa. So that means that Rav Ada Ba'ava spanned all the way from the death of Rabbi, meaning he was born basically when Rabbi died, and he goes all the way to Rav Nachma Yitzchak, which is Doros Achronim, later generations of the Amoraim. Okay, so I don't have a number to quantify that, but he lived a long time. And some say Yosef Bechek Shavram Avinu Hayom Nolad Rav Yehuda Bebavo. And Rabbi says, now Rabbi saying this Bederch Nevuah, it could very well be, and that's unclear. I mean, there was no Nevuah in the time of Rabbi, so that's a little bit of a stretch. But however he knew this information, Rav Yehuda is being born on the day that Rabbi is dying. So Hayom Nolad Rav Yehuda, the Amar Marki Shemitz Rabbi Kiva Nolad Rabbi, and here the Gemara tells us that basically, when one tzaddik dies, you have another one taking his place. So at the time that Rabbi Kiva dies, Nolad Rabbi. Okay, so they literally straddle each other generationally. So that Rabbi Kiva dies. Rabbi Kiva is dying sometime around 132, 133 of the Common Era. So it's at that point in time that Rabbi is born. And remember, Rebbe is the Masad of Mishnayos. He's the editor, the grand editor of the Mishnayos. They were edited somewhere at the end of the 2nd century. So, again, historically, good. And Mishkishemetz Rebbe, Nolad Rav Yehuda. And now when Rebbe dies, so Rav Yehuda is born. Now remember, Rav Yehuda, who we just were introduced to yesterday at length, so he was Rosh Hashiva Pumbedisa, he was a Mar Da'asra Pumbedisa, and so he was the... And remember yesterday how Rav Nachman basically was subordinate to Rav Yehuda? Okay, Rav Yehuda was the gadol. Kishemez Rav Yehuda nolad Rava. Rav Yehuda dies and Rava takes his place. Rava is born on the day that Rav Yehuda dies. And Kishemez Rava nolad Ravashi. And when Rava dies, Ravashi is born. So basically what we did is we spanned from Ravi Akiva all the way to Ravashi. Now obviously it's a really rough sketch, but the point being is that when one tzaddik dies and the other one is born, and basically that's how it's going to be, that when a tzaddik dies, so another one takes his place. And the Gemara gives us other examples where we find this, where you have one tzaddik die and another one immediately be born on the day of the death of the other one. When the sun sets of Eli, so the son of Shmuel, so to say, rises. Shenemar v'ner lokim term yichbeh u'shmuel shochev v'gomer. Okay. So adkan, that is a rough sketch of basically Seder Hamorayim, starting with Rabbi Kiva. Now Rabbi Kiva, of course, is a Tana. Going to Rabbi. Rabbi is the conclusion of the Tanaim. Going to Rav Yehuda. To Rava, to Ravashi. And just in terms of time span, we're basically spanning almost four centuries. Right? As I pointed out, Rabbi Akiva died in about the year 132, 133 of the Common Era, and Ravashi, we generally say, lived into the 5th century. So we're spanning less. We're talking now about three centuries of Jewish history. Okay. Let's do a little bit more for this morning. Tziva Hashem Yaakov Tzivav Tzarav. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded that our enemies are going to be surrounding us. Rav Yehuda Amar Kigon, Humnai Lefumnara. So Rav Yehuda gives an example like Humnaya and Pumnahara. Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi explains. Rashi, Tziva Hashem Liyakos, Tzivav Tzarav, Sarim Shahayu Sovivim Osam Ba'artsam. We would have enemies surrounding our nations. Dahainu Amun Umawav, Shed Siru Lehem Yosem Minakol. And Ammon and Moab, who were particularly not nice to us. Kedamin Bechelek, the Rashi quotes from Sanhedrin. Ammon and Moab, Shechina Bishod Yerushalayim. They were poor neighbors to Yerushalayim. So even though, not even though, that was true in Eretz Yisrael, and like you figure, like at least we'll go to the Galus, at least we'll get a break from Ammon and Moab. We don't get a break. We don't get a break from Ammon and Moab, and that explains the Gemara. Explains Rashi was intentional, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu designed it that our enemies are going to be unpleasant. Kegon Humnaya Dekula Damonihi. Now Humnaya, as we already pointed out, right? Remember that was one of the things that Rebbe said right when he died, that Humnaya was a nation filled with Ammonim. And Kedarmina El Ayoshim Sancher Babava Vayu Mitzir Lisrael Shibapum Nahara. Now the Jewish people were living in Pum Nahara, which is contiguous, which was proximate to the town of Humnaya. And again, that was all by design. That was all intentional. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be surrounded by enemies and basically make our existence somewhat uncomfortable. Okay. I know. History repeats itself. Okay. We'll stop over here. We will pick it up tomorrow. Vayihi. Right, from the Pesukim in Yechezkel.